Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show comes to you less than a week before the 2021 NFL Draft. Months of speculation about what your New York Giants will do will finally come to an end as we find out over 3 days exactly which players your New York Giants will bring in to try to help them in 2021 and beyond. As part of the build-up to the draft, General Manager Dave Gettleman and Scouting Director Chris Pettit met with media via Zoom video conference on Thursday. You can find many of my thoughts on what Gettleman and Pettit had to say at Big Blue View. Today, what I want to do, rather than pontificating and giving you, my views on everything that Gettleman said, what I'm going to do is play some audio clips from Gettleman and Pettit, and let you guys hear, what was said, and you can make your own judgments as to what you think of Gettleman's words, Pettit's words, what the Giants' plans might be. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to hear from draft analyst Dane Brugler of The Athletic, one of the better draft analysts in the business, and we'll talk to him about his 7-round mock draft and a lot of the Giants' plans going forward in the 2021 NFL draft. So we'll get to all of that here. Let's start with Gettleman talking a little bit about all of the talk about what he called the urban myth about the fact that he won't trade back in the NFL draft, something he has never actually done in the 8 drafts that he's run in Carolina and New York.
You guys don't believe me. Meanwhile, Jeremiah had a great line. NASCAR will have right turns before DG trades back. I think it's a hell of a line. I had a good laugh. I've tried in the past. I've tried to trade back, but it's going to be value. I'm not getting fleeced. I refuse to do it. And if, somebody wants to make a bad trade back, God bless them. But we've had opportunities. I've tried, and you have to understand the other piece of this, Dan, is sometimes you have a trade and the guy that the team is trading up for gets picked in front of you. We've had that happen to us. We got a trade. And the so-and-so selects, no trade, Dave, goodbye. And they hang the phone up on me. So that happens too. I mean, it's almost becoming urban myth. I've tried, I really have.
Next up, Gettleman talks about what the Giants actually need to get from their first round pick, which is the 11th pick overall heading into next week's draft.
It's really hard to take a guy at 11 that you're betting on the potential. He's got all the PQs, it's just what it comes down to. I look at it this way. So I'm a Celtics fan. Don't be angry. but I'm a Boston Celtics fan. So, you know, a couple of years ago, the Celtics drafted Robert Williams out of Kentucky. He was a one-and-done guy and all kinds of potential. Well, now it's year three, and he's finally starting to play to his abilities, okay? In the NFL, you know, I've got to be, you know, Kim, I got to be really cognizant of the coaches. They're under the pressure to win all the time. Every Sunday is a referendum on their skills as coaches. And you got to be really careful when you start taking guys that high that have that much, you know, you love the physical skills, the potential, but it's but how long is it going to take for it to show on the field? So that's kind of like the balance I have to get to.
One of the really interesting and difficult parts of evaluating and scouting and getting ready for the 2021 NFL draft has been figuring out how to judge, how to quantify, what to expect from all of the players who opted out of the 2020 college season. Next up, Gettleman talks about that process and about going case by case when you look at players who opted out in 2020.
No, I definitely, Ryan, there's nothing I can compare this to. You know, you're almost with a handful of these guys, it's almost like the NBA one and done. You know, they go to college for a year and now bang, they're in the NBA. So, you know, it's, you have to do it on a case by case basis. You know, listen, they made a decision to opt out. Who am I to judge? And, you know, you watch it, things haven't changed. It's what you do between the white lines that give you your value as a player. And then obviously you're judging the character piece as well. But no, I don't have any preconceived notions. We've discussed amongst each other, you know, in the room, the reasons that a guy opted out. When I get on the Zoom calls, we're still doing it. We're still in the interview process with the players. So for, you know, I've been doing two guys a night, and like tomorrow I'll do six guys in the afternoon. And we asked them specifically, tell me your story about the opt-out. What's your journey like? Are you glad you did it? You know, you go through that process, Ryan. But again, it's hard because especially, Tom said it before. I mean, you know, there are guys that haven't played, you know, that were 19 years old the last time they played football. And, oh, by the way, this is going to be 20 months before it'll be 20 months between when the last time they had a pads on. Okay. And I, you know, you guys know how I kind of, you know, talk about the underwear Olympics. I, you know, on the field, the game is played in pads. And it's played on a field. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Some of the opt-out kids did a great job, showed up at their pro days and just, you know, were outstanding. And there were a few of those opt-out guys that showed up and looking like me.
Finally, Chris Pettit, Giants College Scouting Director, talks about whether or not the 11th overall pick is too early for the Giants to use that pick on an edge rusher, and also discusses the quality of the edge rusher class and what the Giants might be looking for.
I wouldn't say there's too rich for edge rushers any year. I mean, there's edge rushers are how you win. You know, you win with guys who rush the passer. You know, where they are on the board, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. You know, a lot of factors do it, but I wouldn't say this, you know, there aren't guys available. You know, there's a good group. There's a bunch of them. There's different ones, different types, which we like. There's ones that fit our system. So I think it's a good group. I think, you know, it's obviously an important position that we look to fill every year, not this year over any other year. So we're going to, you know, we're going through it, and we're going to hopefully, if we decide to address that, if the one's there at a certain time and he fits what we do, we take him.
All right, Giants fans, that is General Manager Dave Gettleman and Scouting Director Chris Pettit talking about some of the issues leading up to the 2021 NFL Draft. Let's take a short break here for a word from our sponsors at SB Nation. When we come back, I'll play for you my conversation with the Athletic Draft Analyst, Dane Brugler.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, Giants fans, as we continue to get ready for the 2021 NFL Draft, I'm joined now by Dane Brugler of The Athletic, fantastic draft analyst who just published his annual draft guide. Dane, we really, really appreciate you chiseling out a few minutes for us.
No, anytime. I appreciate having me on, Ed.
Hey, so I have to start with this. How many draft guides is it that you've done now?
Oh man, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I did my first draft guide back as a freshman at Mount Union in my dorm room, and then kind of picked up from there. So, you know, I've been making it publicly accessible for probably 13, 14 years now.
Nice, nice. I love it. It's a great piece of work. I really appreciate getting my hands on it every year. It's easy to read, folks. If you don't have one, go get one.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the NFL draft, 0% chance you'll be disappointed. That's the best way I can put it. It's just a great resource to have, both in the lead up to the draft, but also on draft weekend. So, you know, if you're not familiar with a player, you just flip to his page in the draft guide, and it'll have all the relevant details that you need to know about.
All right. Hey, let's talk about the mock draft that you recently did as well, the 7-round mock. And obviously, you know, I'm primarily focused on the Giants. So I have to ask, you went Elijah Vera Tucker for the Giants at 11. And I have written down here in my notes that you left Jaylen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Micah Parsons, Kwity Paye, and Azeez Ojulari on the board to do that. Is that a scenario where you could legitimately see the Giants, you know, going with a player who would wind up as a guard for them, you know, with all that talent on the board?
Yeah. And I mean, there were definitely some pushback from some Giants. Some Giants fans liked it a lot. They bolster that offensive line, you know, let's get better up front. Others were a little more, you know, not thrilled with it, you know, especially with some of those players on the board. And I understand that as well. I think when you look, it would be really tough to pass on one of those wide receivers, whether it ends up being Waddle or Smith. But, you know, when you look at when you bring in Kenny Golladay, but you also have, you know, Darius Slayton's a good player, Sterling Shepard, you know, John Ross is in the fold now. I mean, not that John Ross should stop you from drafting a receiver at 11. But I think that you look at the wide receiver group, and also you factor in, this is a strong wide receiver class. So if you really wanted a wide receiver, you don't have to do it there. but you have a chance to upgrade another position, whether that is pass rusher or the offensive line, or maybe cornerback. That's an option as well. So I don't think this is a situation where, okay, if Vera Tucker's there, they have to take him. They cannot pass. I think he is one of maybe three or four sensible options for the Giants there. We know that just looking at Dave Gettleman's history, pass rusher is certainly in play there. Maybe the first pass rusher off the board could be at 11. Just looking at, the needs of this team, maybe you try to find another corner to, you bring in a Dory Jackson, but maybe you bring in another corner to compete on the depth chart. Offensive line like that I have with Elijah Vera Tucker, he's a plug and play guard, and some compare him to like a Zach Martin, a guy that's making that tackle to guard conversion, but he has some experience at guard. Maybe not a guy that's going to get you overly excited on draft weekend, but he's just gonna, you plug him in and he's going to start for a long time for you at a high level, and that's never a bad thing, even if some people would say the 11th pick's too high for a guy like that. But, with the interior disruption that teams are able to get at times, that you need quality on the interior. And Vera Tucker is definitely it. I think it's also worth noting he's one of the higher floor players. There's no such thing as safe in the NFL draft. But I think you could look at Vera Tucker and say he's got lower bust potential than some of these other guys.
All right, I have to ask you, let me tell you this first of all. I looked at your edge rusher rankings. And we talked about edge rusher, and I have to thank you for making me feel smart, because I have been banging the table for Azeez Ojulari. If the Giants go edge rusher, I think he fits the Giants. He fits Patrick Graham really, really well, because he can play going forward. He can play going backward into coverage in the short areas. He can play standing up. He can play sometimes with his hand in the ground. I think he fits really, really well. So it's a two-part question. Is he worth the 11th pick, and why do you have him as your edge one?
Yeah, I think right at 11, 12, 13, that's where we start thinking about these pass rushers. And I think Azeez Ojulari, he's the top guy for me. 20 years old and coming off a season where he led the SEC in sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles. So there's a lot to like about the raw talent. He doesn't look very big. He's 6'2", 250. But when you factor in, he has 34 and a half inch arms. So he has the arm length of a 6'5 player, but he has the benefit of being 6'2", where it's almost the ideal body type, because you're getting a guy that can play low and play with natural leverage, but he has the length so he can set a physical edge. He can use that length as a pass rusher. So there's a lot to like with Azeez Ojulari, just the natural tools. But then you also factor in he has the instincts. He can play the run and the pass. He's not just a one-trick pony. So with Azeez Ojulari, I do not think 11 would be too early. I think that in a lot of ways that makes sense. So if he were the pick at number 11, I would, hat tip to the Giants. I think they get the best pass rusher in the draft, and, I think they get a good player.
I love the fact that he's also not 21 years old yet. And that just, to me, that leads to so much room for improvement, so much room for growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a guy that, he missed his first year. He had a ACL, a senior year in high school. So that carried over to Georgia, redshirted that first year. Then as a freshman, he started as a redshirt freshman at Georgia, which, not easy to do. And he led the team in sacks. And then this past year, like I said, led the SEC in all three of those categories. So, and you feel like he's still getting better. Character is high. He was the only freshman captain under Kirby Smart at Georgia. There's just a lot to like about Ojulari. It will not take much to talk yourself into him as a pass rusher to consider somewhere in the teens.
You talk about, it won't take much to talk yourself into the guy. And I wasn't going to go here quite yet, but that kind of leads me to Micah Parsons. Mm. Do you have to, the talent is obvious, right? But are the character concerns and the personality concerns? I know that there's some things in his past, but is all that talk at this point, is it a media creation at this point, with or do you think that NFL teams like the Giants might actually shy away from him a little bit?
There's split opinion on it. And look, he'll be the first to admit he had some immature decision-making in his past. And so for NFL teams, the question just becomes, okay, was he an immature kid? Like most of these players are, like, you know, you and I probably were, and you know, you matured as you got older. Or is he just going to be a guy that's going to be a questionable decision maker, especially once he starts getting first round money and gets that paycheck every week? That's what NFL teams are asking themselves. And that's something that I think the answer will be slightly different from team to team. Some teams might be more willing to take that chance, where others could be a little more conservative. So it's certainly a relevant talking point. And you know, we could be looking back in 3 years and saying, you know, I can't believe we – you know, spent so much time talking about it when it hasn't been a factor at all with Micah Parsons. And, you know, he's a Pro Bowl linebacker. Or we could be talking about it as, well, you know, like we were right to talk about it because here he is. And, you know, it some of those mistakes have followed him. We just don't know. It's the hardest part about drafting is some of these character stuff that especially those of us on the outside, I have no problem saying I don't know, because I have not had the chance to spend, you know, time with him and get to know him. I've talked to people at his high school, I've talked to people at Penn State, and you know, they've given me you know, just some of their thoughts on him. But what is, you know, it's hard to project what he's going to be in 3 years. Will he mature? Will he, grow up in some areas? Sure, he absolutely might, but he might not. So that just makes it tough for NFL teams.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mike, specifically to the Giants, they got burned by DeAndre Baker.
Right.
And, you know, that was a Gettleman decision. When you think back on it, they got burned by Eli Apple. You can make the case that they made a mistake, you know, drafting Odell Beckham when they could have drafted, you know, Zach Martin or even Aaron Donald, I think, was on the board at that point. Although I didn't see Aaron Donald coming, to be honest with you. And we all know that this high up in the draft, ownership is involved in okaying a player like this. Just looking at some of the Giants' history, might they be a team that might be a little bit reticent to pull the trigger on a guy like Parsons?
Sure. And I think on one side, you don't let past mistakes dictate, you know, what you do in the future. But if you're not learning from your mistakes, then, you know, you're doing something wrong. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. You have to be able to understand, okay, what in the past, with our process with DeAndre Baker and all those guys, you know, what about our past with our decision-making did we miss that led to that not working out? And okay, why do we need to change this year? So we're asking the right questions. So we're, vetting in a specific way relevant to this specific player. And I think this year there's an extra set of challenges because we didn't have the combine. So these teams didn't get a chance to meet with Mike Parsons in person. There's no facility visits. You can't bring in the past. What you do is bring Mike Parsons to the facility for, you know, 48 hours. And you have a chance to sit down with them, get to know him as a person, ask him personal questions. It's not just X's and O's. It's, you know, how does he gel with our culture, with our staff? And without those facility visits, without even the pro days, you arrive a day early, take him out to dinner. Can't do that. You know, I mean, you can bump into him after the pro day and talk for 5 minutes, but that's about it. So, and there's plenty of virtual visits, but you know, you can only learn so much through Zoom and you know, that type of thing. So it's a really interesting process. And for some teams, it's probably going to make them be a little more conservative because maybe they don't have as much information as they would in normal draft years. And so, you know, we're a year off of a guy like Isaiah Wilson going to Tennessee in the first round and, you know, not even lasting, you know, a full calendar year there. He's out of the NFL after, you know, two different teams. And so this year, when we have less information about these guys, I would not be surprised at all if we see teams be a little more conservative than usual this year.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about second round. You have Gregory Rousseau going to the Giants at 42. And I love that pick there. I mean, I would hate that pick at 11, but right. I love that pick, you know, in terms of upside at 42. Look into your crystal ball and tell me what is Gregory Rousseau in 3 years? Do you think he's a guy who comes anywhere close to his upside, or is he, you know, just another player?
And that's why it's tough to figure out with Gregory Rousseau, a guy that opted out. And there were some opt outs like, you know, Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. They didn't need to take another NFL snap. We knew what they were as NFL player or as NFL prospects. Rousseau, not quite the case. You know, he was a wide receiver and safety most of his life, outgrew those positions, moved to the defensive line as a senior in high school, didn't play his first year at Miami. And then his second year, 2019, second in the FBS in sacks behind only Chase Young, and, you know, really put himself on the radar as being a possible first round pick, but then he opts out. And so we really just have 1 year of film to go on, and there are absolutely things to like, you know, almost 6'6", 34 and a half inch arms, huge wingspan, huge hands, pretty good get off for a guy that size. I don't know that I'd necessarily call him explosive. I don't know. He's not very bendy. But when you have that length and, you know, you're able to win in different ways, you could reduce inside, win over the A gap. I feel like there's untapped potential there. Like, you know, we've have 1 year of film on him. So he's going to get better in some areas. It's just trying to figure out his ceiling is really, really tough. And I think his ultimate ceiling, like if everything just clicks perfectly, he could be in that Chandler Jones type of mold, like that type of player. But that's banking on a lot of development and upside hitting, which might not be the case for him. And that's why opinions are all over the map. Some see him as a first round player. Some think, you don't even consider him until the second round. Opinions are all over. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he went, you know, somewhere in that back half of round one. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to, you know, round two, if he's available for the Giants. A really polarizing player because he has talent, but I don't know that it necessarily we know we can feel great about projecting his ceiling, and that makes it tough to draft him early.
All right, last thing for you, Dane, and it kind of goes back to taking Elijah Vera Tucker in the first round. I'm curious how you feel about the young tackles that the Giants drafted a year ago. They surprised some people by drafting Andrew Thomas. And I kind of liked the pick basically because I thought he was one of the safer of the tackles there. Maybe not the absolute best, but maybe the safest. And Matt Parrott in the third round. And the Giants, you know, their offensive line wasn't great last year. They seem to be banking on those two players improving and being able to hold down the edges of their line. And I guess the way I want to put this is, in your mind, is that going to end up being a winning bet for the Giants?
I think that I don't know. I'll put it this way. I don't know that Andrew Thomas is going to be able to live up to being the first tackle drafted that year, just because I think Mekhi Becton and Jedrick Wills and Tristan Wirfs are going to be high-level players and probably outplay Andrew Thomas. But can Andrew Thomas be a starter and maybe even an above-average starter? Yeah, I think he can be. With some more development, I think he can be that guy. So I don't know that he's ever going to live up to being a better player, being the best tackle from that draft. But he could be a guy that you win with, that can help you win football games. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. I mean, fans could live with and focus on, you know, oh, we could have had this guy or this guy, but if he's helping you win, if he's doing his job and, you know, he's helping you win games, and that's really all that matters. So, I mean, Andrew Thomas, he was my fourth tackle last year. I think there were some ups, there were some downs for him. I was really encouraged by some of the developments that he made over the second half of the year. I think that's something that, the Giants and Giants fans should be optimistic about. And then with Matt Parrott, I did really like him. He's a very raw player, Jamaican native who still was learning the game at UConn and had experience at left tackle and right tackle, has the size that you want, the vines for arms. huge body. And you feel like once the mechanics and timing become a little more consistent for him, it is really going to unlock everything. And so it's going to take some time, I think, for Matt Parrott, but there's going to be some hiccups along the way. But as long as the Giants stay patient with him, I think he can get there. And I think it's absolutely fair to look at the last year's draft and say, hey, the Giants found their starting tackles in that one draft with those two players.
All right. Hey, Dane, really appreciate the time. I know that I think everybody in the world is trying to get a little bit of your time these days. why don't you just tell folks if they haven't gotten your draft guide, you know, how they can get a hold of it and where they can follow you on Twitter and all that.
You can follow me on Twitter at DP Brugler. All my content's on The Athletic, and that's where the draft guide is as well. All you need is a subscription, and it's part of your subscription. I think the subscription's worth it on the guide alone. There's 415 reports in there, over 600 players with NFL verified pro day data, everything you need to know about these guys. So hopefully people check it out. Like I said, if you're interested in the NFL draft at all, I can promise you, you will not be disappointed by the level of detail in there. So get your subscription to The Athletic. You get it as part of that and enjoy all the great content we have on there. So hopefully people will check it out.
All right. Thank you very, very much. And hopefully we'll talk to you again.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ed.
That wraps up our show for today, Giants fans. Please remember to check out the Big Blue View Draft Hub page for all of your Giants-related NFL draft needs, previews, profiles, prospect rankings, and a whole lot more. Remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Big Blue View. Check out our YouTube channel. Whatever way that you like to consume content, there is a Big Blue View channel for you to do just that. Also, Giants fans, as always, please remember to take care of each other, stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.